Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 540, Campaign Completed, recorded live on May 26th, 2016. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome to episode number 540. We're almost at 550, almost at 11-year mark.
Almost?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Because RTX was in April last year, but 9 months ago we celebrated our 10-year anniversary. That was, wow. Time does fly. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. So we're here to talk about the latest in Halo news, and of course the big one kind of being Forge as of late. Although we did talk about that a little bit, I think. But there's some new information, at least a little bit, that has come out since talking about it last time. But not much else has gone on in terms of big Halo news so far. We have a little bit of our own news to get through. But yeah, I think as far as the big, like, official news, I think a lot of stuff is just waiting for E3. There's rumors for the new Xbox console that's going to be coming out that's supposedly 4 times better, faster, whatever, than the current Xbox, and it's going to be a lot smaller, so that's going to be cool. And I get to go to that, which will be awesome. And then there's supposed to be another rumored Xbox device, like possibly a handheld, kind of like a Shield type of thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the latest rumor. I think that rumor cropped up today, if I'm not mistaken. That'd be interesting. It almost sounds like Microsoft just kind of giving up on the, like, single console idea and trying to expand out to other devices, I guess.
Well, as long as they're not trying to beat Nintendo.
Nintendo's not too bad.
Yeah, Nintendo, I would have to say they're probably better known for their handhelds than they are their consoles. Don't get me wrong, the consoles are, you know, very well known. But
this is true.
But most people I talk to, if they don't say the Wii, they talk about one of the handhelds.
Right. Like 3DS or
The 3DS or
Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy SP. Yeah.
Game Boy is the big one, but
right.
Of course, a lot of the people that I talk to grew up with me, and so, you know, we talk about, you know, the Nintendo, mm-hmm. the original.
Well, the 3DS and the DS really are evolutions of the Game Boy, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was growing up, the hot handheld was the Game Boy. Everybody wanted a Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. My first one was a Game Boy Pocket.
Never actually ever owned one.
Do you have one of the big, fat, original Game Boys?
No, I never had a Game Boy. Never got one. I had this cheesy little football game.
Oh, like one of the little handheld, like, dedicated game type of things?
Yeah, it was a handheld football game. You got to watch a dot click across the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Anyway. Good stuff. So yeah, there is a little bit of an update to the Forge stuff, like we mentioned before. There's a Q&A that got posted as kind of the community update for last week, and it got a little bit more clarity in terms of what we're going to be able to do with the Forge on PC. So what it sounds like is coming to PC is Forge and custom games. So no campaign, no matchmaking, and there's no no Warzone. So custom games and Forge seem like to be the two big pieces that are coming, which...
And I think the custom games was just to be played with other Windows 10 machines, right?
Yes.
I mean, they're not letting,
that's how
they're
I understand
not letting
it.
The Xbox Ones play with the PCs.
Right. That's how I understand it. So if you go check out the community update from last week, there's a recently asked questions. And one of the things that they mentioned was that there's no matchmaking on Windows 10, but you will be able to play with friends on Windows 10 in a custom games lobby using your friends list and inviting them via gamertag. So it's basically what most of the Halo fans want is just to be able to do matchmaking on PC, even if it's just custom games and not, or sorry, do multiplayer on PC, not necessarily do campaign and matchmaking. Not necessarily. It'd be a big part of it, but to have Forge and Customs, that's covering the most, two of the biggest used pieces of Halo outside of matchmaking.
Yeah, the having the Forge on PC, I think it really does make sense to have the custom games there, especially for map development, because you know, you're not constantly exporting your map to your Xbox One and then having to delete it because you made changes and then re-export it and stuff like that. You can just play right there on Windows 10. And you can control, you've got a little bit more control over the map of you know, keeping it in your possession and not in everybody's file share when you're not ready to release it yet, things like that. So
that's a really good point.
I'm really happy to see that they're releasing a, you know, a custom game option with Windows 10. Now, there will be people that just use it for custom games. I'm
and
sure.
There's no problem with that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I will. If my laptop will run it, I will put it on my laptop just to, you know, as I travel. Or if I don't want to come up and sit in the office, you know, I might start looking for custom games like that.
It would be, for me at least, I wouldn't have to lug a travel Xbox every single time I want to play for Halo 5. I just hop on my laptop and play customs.
Yeah.
I mean, it does kind of suck because you won't be able to do it cross-platform, or at least it doesn't seem like it's going to be cross-platform, but still, if everyone gets on and has on PC, which I would know a few people that would have it on PC and that would be willing to play. And the other thing is, this is for free. You get Forge and Customs for free on PC.
Yeah, you just have to have a PC capable of running it. Be interesting to see what the specs are going to be.
And it has to be Windows 10.
Well, like I said, it has to meet the specs.
I'm excited, though. And it runs on DirectX 12, which has the latest in like optimization of graphic support, audio support, and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be nice. And be able to have up to 4K resolution. I mean, if you think Halo is pretty now, ooh, 4K is going to be... I mean, talk about being able to spot Spartans from a mile away.
Well, I can definitely tell you I will not be paying it at 4K because I don't really want to invest that kind of money in monitors.
You know, this would honestly be something I would possibly upgrade to a 4K monitor for.
Yeah. You know, if I was still just running one monitor, I would probably consider it.
I would buy it just as a third monitor. I would use a third monitor as my gaming monitor. I would get a display stand that would have a three monitor setup, and I would do... I'll see if I could do two and one, have one up top, and that would just be my gaming monitor. Or I would just, oh man, 4K TV.
I don't have that much room on my desk.
Well, it's just I would replace my current TV. I don't need to spend that much money, though.
I think I'll give it a little bit before I go jumping into 4K monitors or TVs. What I got works just fine. But I know I will definitely have to update my graphics card.
What you got now?
I've got a Radeon 7800.
Oh,
I couldn't even play the Forza Apex demo. It wouldn't even launch.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, I built the machine 3 years ago now, and I didn't invest a lot of money in the graphics card because I don't game on PCs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the games that I did play on PCs were already 10 years old, so I didn't need a super high quality graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to make me spend money.
Well, for those of us that are already set, I guess it's nothing additional, but yeah, it'll be something weird. I don't know. I think, well, I guess it is kind of dependent on person, and everyone really relies on consoles being a standardized hardware to not having to worry about upgrading hardware or whatnot.
Most likely, I think it'll probably run on my current setup. I just won't be able to run it at the real high resolutions. I may only be able to run it at 720. I would assume they would, for something like that, they would have a wider setting for video requirements. You know, unlike Forza, which is, you know, it's an ultra high end, you know, the game is built on the graphics. I mean, that is Forza's thing, is just super realistic graphics. And you play it on console, or you play it on a high end PC, and the cars are absolutely beautiful. They're very realistic. You know, they have that wet look, just like a show car does. So, you know, I could see where a game like that would need a real high end graphics card, but hopefully I can putter along with what I got for now.
Yeah. There's a couple other things in the Q&A that they clear up as well. Like, there's no cross platform between Xbox One and Windows 10, and that you're going to be able to pull in all the arena maps and bookmark maps that you have on your file share and be able to pull them into Forge. And you will be able to use mouse and keyboard in the custom games, not just in the Forge. So all you PC Master Race people who like their mouse and keyboard, you'll get to play Halo 5 with mouse and keyboard.
And that really screw them up. They bounce them back and forth. Mouse and keyboard, controller. Mouse and keyboard, controller.
Yeah.
Of course, most people are better adept at that than I am.
I got to work on my... I actually need to probably... This is just going to end up making me pay more for computer stuff. So I'm going to probably end up getting a gaming mouse.
And yeah.
I have a decent keyboard right now. I have one of the Microsoft keyboards, and it has 6 macro keys, so I could use the keyboard, but I don't have a gaming mouse, per se, so I'd probably end up getting that and then getting a 4K monitor. So yeah, I'll probably be spending a little bit of money about the time this decides to come out.
Yeah, I can't make my fingers do that. It just doesn't work. I've tried to play Halo with just the keyboard and mouse, Halo 2 PC, and Halo CE, and I just, my fingers get lost on a keyboard. I'm always pushing wrong buttons, and I can't do it.
It's one of those things that you just need to take time to do it if you want to put the time in to do it.
Yeah, I just keep using my controller.
And that works. You can use your controller with it.
I get less confused that way. It's hard enough switching between versions of Halo.
Yeah, that is one thing.
What did that button do again? How do I sprint?
Yeah. Well, I got Overwatch for PC. And since my motherboard is sent in right now, I don't have it installed. And I'm not going to worry about installing it on this machine if I'm only having this machine up for 2 weeks. So once I get that back, and once everyone's already good at Overwatch, I'm going to start playing that. That'll probably be after E3. But I got to get back into learning how to use a mouse and keyboard.
Well, if you're going to play on PC, yes, you will.
Yep. Anyways, so there's a couple other things that got updated from last week's community update. They made some changes to some of the content that they're going to be delivering over the next couple of months. So the Hog Wild update was supposed to include some new bigger items as well. I think there was supposed to be a new map that was supposed to be included. And I think there was something else that they were supposed to be included too. I think race might have been something that would be part of it. But they're going to have another update this month. Or did they say this month?
I thought it was next month. I mean, this month's almost over with, so...
The Hog Wild update, which is supposed to include new updates and features, Warzone and Arena maps, and Forge updates. That's going to be... a lot of that stuff's going to be released at the end of June. But in the meantime, they're actually going to go ahead and release all the Wild Hog update wrecks at the end of this month. So there's only a few days left. So those will be coming here pretty soon. But the big item on that wreck list is the Sword Needler Warthog. So it's basically the chain gun shoots out needles.
It's a chain needler. Just what everybody needs.
What is it, the Blood of Suban that's the carbine with the needles? Basically the needle rifle? Yeah. So basically just put that in the Warthog. That's going to be very comparable, I think, to the Oni Hog.
With a higher fire rate.
That'll be something to really watch out for. And judging by the looks of the pictures, there's two other Warthogs that are going to be included. One legendary, and then there's an uncommon, both with a turret and it looks like a civilian version of it. So it looks like there's three new Warhawk types, and then one of the types has a turret and then a scout version of the hog.
Yeah, just what we need, another scout hog.
Yeah. They make good for machinima, but just not for... I take that back. It would be different if you could pile on six Spartans into a hog and basically use it as a transport.
True.
So as you... So
especially
in
if they all have rocket launchers. Oh.
Well, that would be interesting. Oh, yeah, if you did like Warzone Turbo or something.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
You never tried that in Reach?
Whenever I did the, on the Mongooses for Rocket Race, did that.
No, I meant in the Reach campaign, when you're coming out of Sword Base, there's a troop transport Warthog that if you're quick enough, you can save it. And then you can get four Marines to pile into it.
Oh, I never did
that. There are enough rocket launchers that you can get each one of them a rocket launcher.
No.
I tried sometime. It's fun.
I never knew about that.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day, folks. Yeah, I had no idea.
I am looking forward to Rocket Hog Race, though, and regular Rocket Race.
Just race in general would be nice. Mm-hmm. All right. And then there's a couple other things that they've shown on here already. There's a Stinger armor. There's one other armor set. There's a Grunt emblem, which will be cool. It's basically, and it has confetti on it. Confetti on it. So that'd be cool. There's a new Mombasa emblem. There is Starfire visor. There's another armor set that they have hidden. There's another, looks like two emblems that are hidden. And then it looks like there's another set of weapon skins that are hidden. And then there is this hybrid weapon mods for the SMG, AR, BR, and DMR. It looks like there's some kind of low profile scope on it.
Well, it's the scope off of carbine.
It is?
Well, what they show in the little trailer that they've put out, if you look at the weapon, it's just the scope off of carbine. I don't know what it does different, though. I mean, is it just the carbine scope, or does it have some extra twist to it?
Judging by the icon that's on the mod card, it looks like it's a scope thing. That's my guess.
Well, I mean, is it just a different reticle, or does it give you an extra zoom, or is it more accurate? You know, do you get...
If I had to take a guess, my guess is it would be a zoom level between the recon scope and just aim down sights.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Be interesting to see. It looks cool. I think they showed it on the SMG. That's what they showed it on.
It's just very low profile. Very low profile. Anyways, that's my guess on it.
Yet another DMR I'm going to have to wait a year to get.
You just got to play more.
I've almost unlocked... Well, I've got two assault rifles left. I've got like two or three BRs left.
Uh-huh.
I still have the one pistol to unlock. It just doesn't give me DMRs.
It took me a while to get my first DMR.
I mean, I've gotten three of them, but it's being stingy.
I think the DMRs were intentionally that way just because they are more rare.
I mean, you already got to wait till rec level 6 to use it.
Well, that's kind of the point. So if it is that high rec level, it's going to take a little bit longer to get that more rare of a card. So it makes sense. At least it does to me.
Hopefully I'll get done unlocking all the rest of them, and then it'll start showing up.
You just got to keep playing. Got to use those boosts.
I do. I keep running out of boosts. I keep using them.
I haven't used a Warzone boost in a while. I'm just stockpiling them for now until I get playing with a group. So. Another thing from the update last week is Bravo had a little blurb in here about some of the updates to the boosts. So now whenever you go into a match and if you use one of your arena or Warzone boosts, you will not use up the card unless you satisfy the requirements to use that card. So instead of like using a card and possibly burning it without getting any reward out of it, if you don't satisfy the requirements in order to get the rewards for that card, it actually goes back into your rec store. So basically...
So it still means a mission victory is a guarantee that you're going to lose, but you just won't lose the card now.
I've used mission victories without having lost before. I think the last time I used them, it was during... I think I was playing Arena, and I used 3 in a row, and we won 3 in a row.
Yeah, before this update, I got to the point where I just started selling them, because it didn't matter who I was playing with. You know, if I was playing with a group of people, and we'd just been wrecking, as soon as I'd put that mission victory on, we'd lose. So I just started selling them. I mean, you know, they're not bad to sell, because I mean, they're worth like 100 rec points usually. 100, 150 rec points. So it's not really a waste of a card, but it's nice to be able to use them. And if you do happen to lose, it just goes back into your deck, and then you can try again.
Well, so when are you using a boost that's only given? Because whenever I've used a boost, I'm always getting at least 700 or 800 rec points.
No, I meant as far as just selling the card, it's not bad.
Now, I mean, you know, now it's before maybe not, but yeah, now definitely.
Yeah, now, like, yeah, now hang on to them, because if it goes right back into your deck, just keep playing it. Eventually, you'll win a game.
There you go. You just piss everyone else in the process of like, who put on the mission victory card?
Yeah, just don't tell anybody.
Yeah. too funny. Part of the update with the rec point system as well is bronze packs no longer give out RP boosts because of how they've restructured the rec system. So for silvers and golds now, the third slot has a possibility of issuing out an emblem, I believe. So there's not going to be anything other than uncommons. I think through uncommons, that's going to be handed out through the bronze packs. So if you go online to Waypoint, or if you go to your collected recs on the game, and if you go through and check that you don't have any more uncommons or commons left, then stop buying bronze packs and go to silvers. It sounds like they're still going to be issuing out the rec points for the silver packs, but that's no longer coming out for the bronze. And I know for a lot of people, that was one of those things where you would buy the bronze packs, and then once you start getting the RP boosts or the RP points, then you knew that you exhausted everything that you could possibly get in the bronze packs.
Yeah, I did that. And then I quit buying bronze packs for a while. Then I started buying bronze packs again. And then I started getting stuff again. So it's weird.
So there still is a random chance of whether or not you will get a permanent in a bronze. And sometimes you just might have a bad string of luck.
Oh, yeah, it definitely. I do a mix now.
See, I started off with bronze because those for most of the time when I was buying the bronze, I was averaging about one permanent every probably 3 or 4 packs. And then a lot of the common cards that you got, you could sell and you could almost get up to another pack just by selling cards. Yeah. So it's more value benefit to buy all bronze, exhaust the bronze, and then buy all silver, exhaust the silver, and then buy all gold, and exhaust the gold if you're actually trying to unlock everything.
Yeah, but who really wants to watch a video of a guy opening 400 bronze packs?
Well, that's why you get the bronze packs out of the way, and then you start doing videos. No one really cares about the common unlocks.
Yeah, I just do the bronze pretty much off camera.
That's probably not a bad
idea. Anyway. Well, except for my promotion packs. I leave those in the videos, because those can be interesting.
Well, the promotion packs,
sometimes they're good, and sometimes they really suck.
Well, the promotion packs have an emblem for every single 5 level one, I think. Or at least every 10.
No, I'm talking about the bronze ones. Your single level
packs. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
I've gotten some decent stuff out of those. You're not a super bunch of it, but every once in a while I get something good.
Fair enough. And Bravo mentions the Halo Fractures novel that we mentioned last week as well. Goes a little more details into that. That'll come out October 12th, 2016. That's something else.
September 20th?
Yeah, the Halo Fractures was to come out September 20th. There is a new graphic novel called Halo Tales from Slipspace. And that'll be releasing on October 12th. So two new things coming up here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. And here I am all out of money.
Well, at least it's books instead of hardware, like new monitors and new graphics cards and gaming mice and whatever.
It doesn't change the fact that I'm out of money.
Fair enough.
I mean, stuff that I could really enjoy, like, you know, a new novel.
Yeah, that's just a couple cup of coffee for a week.
Yeah, I can't give up coffee. Gotta have my coffee.
Your people and your coffee. I don't drink coffee. I don't like the bitterness.
I'm not saying it's not an acquired taste. And I'm also not somebody that goes to Starbucks and buys their coffee either. I don't mean any offense to the people that do. It's just I cannot pay $5 for a cup of coffee.
Good man. All right. So let us wrap up the Halo 5 campaign.
Shall we?
Frickin' time. Yes, we shall. We will get it done. And I did already reach out to Toafreak, and he said he would be more than happy to come on and talk about the campaign and all the stuff that's implied at the very end and all throughout the campaign after E3. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it because there's a lot of stuff that can be delved into just from this game.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of wild theories and speculation.
Yeah. There's one of those, I had a lot of theories kind of at the very end when I was playing it, but I got to go back and play the campaign probably a couple more times to re-engage those thoughts and some ideas and probably watch some of Toafreak's videos just to get an
idea. Would recommend that.
Yeah, just to kind of re-spark some of those conversations. And then also some of the Hunt the Truth stuff we can go back to as well.
Yeah, I would actually also recommend rereading Thursday War.
Trying to think if I ever...
Or if you have not read it, to read it.
What was the last one?
Mortal Dictata.
Okay. I haven't read that one. I read through Thursday War, but I haven't read Mortal Dictata.
There are some pieces in Thursday War that could apply to the current situation in the Halo universe.
Gotcha. And then you go through...
At least give you a point of view.
Makes sense. And then you go through and actually finish Escalation as well. And I guess doing Thursday War, it'd be nice just to read the trilogy. Just go ahead and read the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't finished Broken Circle. So I need to go through and finish that one.
Let's see, I've gone through that twice now.
Yeah, I'm slacking a little bit. I've got some reading to do.
Yeah, I still have to finish... what's the latest one that
Last Light?
No, not Last Light.
Shadow of Intent?
Shadow of Intent. I still have to finish that one.
I haven't read that one yet. Last Light was the last book I read.
Well, that's a good one to stop on.
Well, that because Shadow of Intent came out when? Was it? It was right around the launch of Halo 5, right?
After.
Yeah, but it was shortly.
It's only been out like 3 months, yeah.
Was this the one in March?
I think it was.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm behind on that one. All right, so getting into this campaign, Mission 15, Guardians. So just a quick recap on the last one, Mission 14, we had Blue Team trying to get Cortana and convince her to stop what she's doing. And of course, she failed. And now Cortana is about to unleash the Guardians, send her Guardians out, and start to enforce the mantle of responsibility. And what did she call it? Force peace on the systems in the galaxy. So, yeah.
Well, that's the end result.
Yep. Bad things about to happen.
Yeah. So, Blue Team is in a cryptum. That's where they go at the end of the previous level. Well, that's where Cortana puts them. Cortana walks away with a very determined look on her face. Like she's about to do something really bad.
Right. A mixture of disappointment and then anger.
Yes. Then we open into the last level, Guardians. I have to admit, this first area that you spawn into, it's kind of fun just to walk around.
Yes. And
you have 6 cells that exuberant witness, is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Has captured different AIs. There's a
campaign
knight.
Campaign AIs, not necessarily.
Yeah, like- campaign AIs. You have a knight. You have crawlers. You have grunts, elites, or an elite hunter and a soldier. And as you walk up to each one of these cells, Exuberant has something specific to say about the creature in the cell.
Well, except for the elite general, because that's at least Vale or Tanaka say something about that. I think.
Yeah, they make the comment. That's not Sword of San Helios. I don't feel so bad now.
Well, no, because the one I listened to, it was a Sword of San Helios, and she said better being in there than out here.
Well, I guess they have different dialogue. I've only stopped a couple of times, so I'm sure there's multiple sets of dialogue.
Well, the first time I went through and actually listened to it was 2 weeks ago when I played through the campaign again to talk about this stuff. And I had never stopped the only time I stopped in that room was to get the first two pieces of intel. And I'd never really walked around and listened to see if there was anything to say. And that was the first time. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's actually a little bit of story to this room.
Yeah, if you walk up to each cell, there's a piece of dialogue that is spoken, either by Exuberant or one of your team members.
And it's kind of interesting. It's almost like Exuberant's trophy room, in a sense.
Yeah. And I think is it Vale or Tanaka that think the crawlers are kind of cute?
I think it was... I'm trying to remember now.
And that one, it kind of floored me when I heard that. I'm like, since when are they cute?
I mean, they're kind of like dogs, so they could be.
Okay. I guess anything's cute if it's not trying to kill you.
I mean, have you seen crawlers sleeping?
No, because usually I'm blowing their heads off.
Well, I mean, like, pictures of them, like, fan art of them, like, sleeping. They look cute.
No, the only time I see them sleeping is in this room.
Even still, they look cute.
Okay.
Eric Kibu thinks it's Vale that made the comment about the crawlers.
It probably is. It sounds more like a Vale than a Tanaka.
Yeah, I didn't listen that closely, so, and I only listened to it once. Could very well be mistaken on that one.
I'm going to have to play the level again and go listen.
Yeah, go around and see how many different lines of dialogue there are.
And see if it changes with difficulty, too.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's true. Good point. All right. So, like I mentioned before...
You got two really hard pieces of intel to find in this room.
Yeah, exactly. They're pretty well hidden. I mean, you just can't find them if you're just walking around, but...
But if you look to the right and you look to the left, you'll see them.
Yeah. They're pretty obvious that they're there. Two foreign terminals on either side. They're hard to miss. You also have a Hydra launcher that you can pick up as well as a storm rifle in this room to take on with the next part, which I would recommend taking both of those. They'll be useful for this first part. Not necessarily useful afterwards too much, but definitely useful for this first part. And this is where, in this first room, this is where Exuberant Witness is explaining to Fireteam Osiris that Cortana has put Blue Team in a cryptum and that Cortana is preparing the cryptum to take off with her guardian. Do you remember what the monitor called the guardian? Is it the Primordial Guardian? Is that what she called it?
Sounds right.
Primordial Guardian?
All I remember is that she made comment that Cortana had moved the cryptum to this guardian, and Cortana was in the process of basically disconnecting herself from the planet.
From the Genesis
installation. That's why it's taking so long for the, yeah, or this installation. That's why it's taking so long for them to depart.
She has to dump all of her memory from the domain. Probably leaving a stub, though, so she can reintegrate later.
Yeah.
Run some background processes.
But throughout this level, as you get into open areas, you'll be able to see guardians leaving. And throughout the level, you'll hear them leaving, too, as they enter their slip space bubbles, or whatever you want to call it, the portals.
As they depart.
I have to admit, it is kind of neat watching them depart. Just, you know, the way they kind of fold in backwards. It's like they're being sucked down the drain or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like they're falling sideways.
Or backwards.
Kind of into the hole. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to note. Is it?
I find it interesting because, you know, all the other ships and stuff, you see them driving towards the entry point, and the these guardians, they just kind of back into it. It's just weird. Just different.
Right. So after you go through this first room, you get onto a lift. And this is where you have Exuberant Witness starting to explain what the reclamation is and what the purpose of the guardians were. And to Fireteam Osiris is kind of like surprised. It's like, Cortana's going to do what now with these things? Basically doing the force piece on the galactic systems. And Cortana kind of chimes in and is like going on about the whole creators versus created thing that we kind of heard from the last mission with Warden and Blue Team. And is it Locke that made the comment of that Cortana was built, not born?
I thought that was Buck.
I think that was...
Maybe it was Locke. I'm going to start paying attention to who says what now. I remember the line, but I don't remember who said it for sure.
I think it was Locke. But yeah, so he was going on about how... Well, Cortana was going on about how they were oppressed, basically. And Locke's like, no, you were built for a purpose. You weren't just born. You were made as a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start to get down to the next area where you actually meet your first set of enemies, Cortana goes and I don't know if it's like at that point in time she goes and tries to reach out to a bunch of AI around the galaxy, but I'm guessing it's mostly just kind of like a collection of recordings from a bunch of different AIs across the UNSC and across human colonized space, basically pledging their allegiance to Cortana and the Reclamation.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know if it's that it's recordings. I think it's basically active communications that you hear all these AIs citing with Cortana. And Governor Sloan is one of them.
Yeah, you heard that one pretty distinctly. There's a lot of other names in there. Quick random note. Just complete tangent here. Remember when... I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was Crash or Noah who said this. But didn't they say there was supposed to be a character from Hunt the Truth in Halo 5 Guardians? Like, supposed to be some kind of, like, hidden cameo?
Somewhere, yes.
Has anyone figured that out? I know I'm speaking to just our audience here.
Nobody that I know of. I haven't seen any posts or anything on it.
Eric Yabu, have you heard anything since you're in the chat? Because that's one thing that's kind of been that small ping on the back of my mind is like, where is this person that was supposed to be in Halo? And the only thing, when I heard all the AI voices, one thing I thought that could possibly stick out is maybe, what's her name?
The one that played Pharaoh?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, Pharaoh. Pharaoh being one of those AIs, but I think that would be too close in timeline to what's going on here in order for that to really be like close, but I don't know.
Well, I thought it was actually supposed to be one of the Hunt the Truth characters, not just the actor.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't Maya be Sankar. Any of the AIs that, yeah, it wouldn't be any of the AIs that are calling in.
So, I don't know. I have to go back and think about that a little bit. But anyways, random tangent, completely sidebar that one until later, I guess. But yeah, just a thought.
Now you got me thinking.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. So you step off the platform. You have all the AI that are talking to and submitting their allegiance to Cortana and what she's doing. And you come up against the group of Covenant and Prometheans are fighting each other. And you get to join in on the fight. You can pick up a binary rifle that's at the very front of that area and use that to take out some of the bigger enemies. Or use your Hydra Launcher or Storm Rifle to take out some of the enemies as well. There's a path up on the left and the right. I choose the left way to get up to the top just so you have height advantage over the enemies, over the Covenant and the Prometheans. But as you're going through, make sure you pick up some of the additional binary rifles if you are on the difficulties that are hard enough for the soldiers up on the top mid to have them. Or grab some of the Promethean weapons to use against some of the tougher enemies. And there's two hunters in there as well. I think I find the Promethean weapons are more useful than the Covenant weapons when fighting the hunters.
Yes.
And you don't really have much human ammunition to use either. So drop those as quickly as possible.
You could save your Hydra for the hunters. There's plenty of ammunition and weapons to take care of pretty much everything else.
Yep.
You definitely want to make the sniper soldiers a priority, because even with light rifles, they can tear you up pretty quick.
They're pretty easy to take out, though. Just simple headshot.
When I walk into the room, the first thing I do is take care of them, and then I clear the first area of Covenant that are fighting against the soldiers and crawlers, and then I either move up. I usually move up on the right side and help, and then I'll clear the remaining soldiers and start working on the hunters. I'll generally stand on the there's a center pillar that you can stand on, which just happens to be where your third piece of intel is.
Yes.
But I will go up there and I will take pot shots at the hunters while I use my team members to distract them, because it gives you pretty good cover. As long as the hunters stay there in front of you, you have something you can back up and hide behind.
Yeah. And one of the things too, with this section at least, depending on what difficulty you're playing through, you can kind of bypass the hunters.
Yes, you can. As long as they don't smash you as you run by.
So, whether you're on the harder difficulties and you need to take them out, or you want to bypass them, they're not that difficult to take out. The hunters, I mean, there's enough firepower where if you focus on... I personally would focus on the hunters and let the Prometheans also do damage to them before taking the Prometheans out, just because they are easier. Like the soldiers that are back there with the splinter turret and the light rifles, just to make sure that they're doing damage. And depending on where you are too, you can get a good round of shots into one of the backs of the hunters before they turn around and start shooting you.
Yeah, it kind of all depends on how much attention the soldiers are paying to me. If they're really focused on me and not fighting the hunters, there's not really a point.
Right.
If they stay focused on the hunters, I'll pretty much leave them alone until the hunters are dead.
So that area is pretty simple. It's just taking your time and taking out all the enemies as you need to. And like GT said, your third piece of intel is up on the center platform. So make sure you grab that before you head on through the doors. Next area, you're going to have a couple of crawlers. You're going to have a knight as well as two focus turrets. I would suggest picking up one of the splinter turrets and using that, draining that out on the soldiers and the crawlers and the watchers. And if you have some left over, start using them on the focus turrets just to have something that you're not using up your weapon ammo with.
There is light rifles. There are light rifles. Light rifle ammo there as well, and light rifles. So you can always go long range with the light rifles to take out the turrets, the focus turrets, the splinter turret. Yeah, I definitely use it to focus on the knight and the soldiers.
And it makes hefty work of them. Like we mentioned last week, it just does a great job of, at least for the soldiers, taking out their armor pretty quickly. Same thing, and then it's like one-shot kills for watchers and crawlers with a direct hit.
If you're close enough to the soldiers, it's a one-hit kill. But if you've got a little bit, if you're a little further away, it's a two-hit kill. But still, very effective.
After you get through this part, you get to the area where Cortana has the cryptum and exuberant witnesses basically telling you what you need to do in order to get the cryptum down off of the gravity wells and back into exuberance control so she can actually go in and save Blue Team. But you have a couple of obstacles standing in your way in terms of gravity cores, so there are five of them. You come into the first one and you are greeted by a small group of Covenant that you need to... I think it's a mix of Covenant and Prometheans, right?
Yeah, there's... Ghost.
Yeah, it's just a mix. A
couple of jackals and a couple of soldiers. And I think soldiers piloting one of the ghosts, if I remember correctly.
Got it. Anyways, there's a little group of enemies there that you'll be fighting. So you'll take that out pretty easily. And you're going to, after you clean those out, you're going to go ahead and take out that gravity core, and you just keep on firing shots into it as much as you can until it finally goes down. And while you're coming up on this area, you can either head on off to the right to pick up a mantis, or you can head on over to the left and you can find a downed pelican or phantom, I believe. And there is a plasma caster there that you can use. So there's some firepower to your disposal. Definitely recommend that you pick that up. Mantis is definitely the easiest thing to go about destroying the cores with. You also have numerous ghosts. So if you're going in co-op, you have the ease of having people kind of go around and help clean up while the mantis is taking out the cores. Now, in this area, there is an achievement. If you want to go ahead and cover that, GT, since you're the achievement guy.
Let's see here.
Called Double Stuff.
Double Stuff. Fun. You do need to do this during co-op play, heroic or legendary. You need to coordinate and destroy two cores at the same time.
Doesn't matter which
unlock
ones.
The achievement. No, they just any two cores. There is also another achievement to, if you're on heroic or legendary, to destroy the beta core with a ground pound. So do a little damage to it, and then you need to, the final blow needs to be the ground pound.
Or do a lot of damage to it.
The achievement. Yeah. Basically, you get it to where it starts to turn color, and then that's usually enough damage to get it to actually pop.
Well, I'm guessing so if you want to get to where it
really
turns red, right?
You can do them at the same time. It goes blue, then kind of an amber, and then it'll go to kind of a reddish color.
Yeah, I would assume you want to do it red.
The ground pound is powerful enough. I think if you're into the amber, you're strong. You're good enough to actually kill the core.
The amber is past the red.
No.
Yeah, because it goes from when like
it goes from blue to amber,
to purple to red, and
well,
then amber.
Okay. Well, after red, it's dead.
Well, after red, it starts to get like a really, it goes like through amber and then a bright orange.
I guess my monitor just displays the colors differently. But anyway.
But yeah, so I guess as it, at least it's getting red, maybe by that point.
Yeah, you'll see the color shift. And if I remember correctly, there's a checkpoint relatively close to that one when you approach it. So if you don't get it, you can, and you die for some reason, you can reset the checkpoint and try it again.
Sweet.
Or you can just run up and try to ground pound on the core again.
And just keep doing it over and over and over again until you finally get it.
But I do highly recommend the mantis.
And there's actually two of them. So if you head on over the left, over by the Epsilon core, depending on which route you want to go, there is another mantis hidden in one of the caves. So you hang to your right, you will go past the Epsilon core, and there will be a little cave to your left. If you go in there, you're going to find a saw and a mantis and a piece of intel. The intel in this section, there's quite a few.
Yeah, we go from 4 to 10.
Yeah, there's a lot in here. And there's a skull. So as far as describing where the intel is, it's going to be a little difficult. We do have a video guide for this if you want to check that out. But the first piece of intel is right by the first core, the Alpha core. It's by the downed Phantom or Pelican, whichever one that is, right by the plasma caster off to the left. So that one's easy to get. I'm just going to kind of do these in the counterclockwise fashion because the way they number them in the guide that we're reading off of doesn't quite make sense.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. So the next closest piece of intel that you probably get as you're going through the right, like if you're going from starting from the bottom, if you're going counterclockwise, because you're kind of led in the direction of the beta core. So going that way, you'll get to the gamma core, which is on the top right part of the map. And there's actually going to be a damaged pelican up there. That's going to have your fifth piece of intel. The easiest way to get up there is there's an ice ledge that has, as you're coming out of the tunnel from the beta core, there's a place where you can hop up. You can kind of climb up some snowy, rocky areas. And then you'll go up to the crashed Pelican and you'll find your fifth piece of intel there. There's also a saw and a sniper rifle. And then...
and a skull.
Yeah, the skull's a little more difficult to get to, though.
Yeah, the intel's on one side of the Pelican, the skull's on the other side of the Pelican.
And in order to get the skull, you have to actually jump up from the other side of the Gamma Core. And it's a little tricky to get to. You have to time your jumps and place your jumps pretty carefully. It's not impossible or overly difficult, but it is challenging to get to. And there are some places of the rock shelves that will kind of push you off a little bit. So just kind of take your time. I know when I first got the skull, it took me probably 2 or 3 tries to get up there before I finally got the skull. So be patient. Just work with it as much as you can, and you will eventually get it. The next piece of intel is going to be as you're kind of coming back through the center area. If you're looking at the very center platform where you eventually deactivate the cryptum being held so that you can get access to it, so you can open the doors to get access to the cryptum. Just to the left of that, there is a little overlook, and there's a piece of intel up there, along with one of those weird Easter egg skulls, which I don't know if anyone's figured those out yet for this map. Maybe they have.
I haven't seen any video or anything on it.
Ergibu, do you know anything?
To give you a clue where this piece of intel is, there is a ghost on the ground underneath it, or near it on the ground. So as you're walking through, just look for the ghost, and that'll help orient you as to where that piece of intel is.
There you go. Next piece of intel is probably going to be as you're heading off to the Delta Core. So after you kind of pass the little center area, there is going to be 2 kind of separate shelves that you'll be able to get to. The first one, which is right by, so instead of going on the left side, if you're coming back from Gamma, and then on the other side of that, there's another little place where you can jump up on the snow. There's a piece of intel up there. Then as you're making your way over to the Delta Core, after you take that out, you will head on underneath the tunnel. There's a tunnel that connects the Delta Core to the Alpha Core, more or less. You'll go into that tunnel. There's a piece of intel in the tunnel that you'll get by a ghost that's in there. You'll come back out. You will take care of the Epsilon Core. If you haven't gotten the second Mantis by now, and as you went past the Epsilon Core, there's that other piece of intel that's right underneath the Mantis. And then there's one more piece of intel on another little area that you have to jump up that's in between the Epsilon and the Delta Core. The 2 cores on the far right, or sorry, the far left side of the map. And that's all 6 pieces of intel there. Again, it's a little hard to explain because there are so many in this area. So if you're a little confused, check out our video. We have a little guide on how to find all the pieces of intel. And then we also play all the pieces of intel so you can get that without having to get all of them if you so choose. As far as defenses for each one of these cores go, Alpha Core is pretty simple. You have just kind of your standard infantry set of, I think, Prometheans and Covenant, so it'd be grunts, elites, jackals, crawlers, and soldiers. Beta Core is going to have 2 hunters defending it, and those things will tear through a Mantis pretty quickly. So, especially on Legendary, be careful as you're going to that core.
The nice thing is that if I remember, the Mantis will lock onto them with the rocket pod, so you get your reticle on them and get the lock on, then you can back the Mantis up and kind of shoot in the air and shoot over the core at them is one technique, or there is plenty of other armaments available. There's rocket launcher, there's turrets, there's fuel rod cannon in that area. Be sure to use your team members if you're playing solo, the other members of your fire team to help distract them to try to open up their backs. You can use ghosts on them. Just be careful with them because they will tear through pretty much everything pretty quick.
Yeah, they will.
Especially on Legendary.
So the Beta Core, again, hunters, be careful. There's 2 of them there. There's also some jackals and elites that will also kind of wreak havoc on you. If you're running co-op, it's a good idea to have the ghosts kind of be distractions for the hunters and let the mantis try to just keep pounding it with missile pod and chain gun. And eventually you'll take those out. Another thing to mention that I forgot to mention about the beta core is that it is protected by a shield. There's three ways that you can access the beta core, and each way is protected by an energy shield. So you just have to make sure you take out the shield first, and it's just shooting at it. There's nothing special.
With the mantis, it's pretty easy. Just unload on the shield and it'll drop.
As you're going to the gamma core, you will be faced with a pretty light set of enemies. There will be a few ghosts that will come from the middle and also attack you as you're getting to the gamma core. Gamma core is not too bad. I think aside from the alpha core,
there's a turret.
Yeah, there is a shade turret that is shooting from it too, but I think the gamma core is probably the second easiest core to take out in terms of enemies that are guarding it. So that's not a problem. The delta core is protected by focus turrets. A lot of them. I think it's 5 or 6.
And a wraith.
And a wraith.
Yeah, you have to go past a wraith to get to it, so.
Oh, well, there's a wraith in the middle. I mean, if you went up the left, you wouldn't be yeah. So there is a wraith in the middle, depending on when you cross that path. But it's not something that you'll have to fight, necessarily, just going for the cores. Eventually, you will have to, just because you're going to be going to the middle to get the cryptum down. But anyways, we'll get to that in a second. So, but yeah, Delta Core, primarily guarded by focus turrets. Again, I think there's 5 or 6 of them to be aware of. Then Epsilon Core is guarded by some pretty heavily fortified soldiers and crawlers. That, again, is just kind of taking your time with it, making sure that you're not getting into corners, backing yourself into places with the mantis, or getting stuck into a point where you don't have a chance to move and dodge some of the splinter turret stuff, because it'll do some damage to the mantis. So keep moving. Make sure that you have the lock-on using on the soldiers. Don't worry about the crawlers or any of the smaller stuff with the auto-lock if you can avoid it. And just that shouldn't be as difficult. If I had to rank the difficulties of these cores, the Beta Core would be the most difficult. The Epsilon Core would be the second most. Delta Core is pretty easy because you can keep your distance from and not really get hit by the focus turrets too much. Especially if you come from the direction of the Epsilon Core. It's actually pretty easy to avoid those. Then the Gamma Core would be the fourth most difficult, and the Alpha Core is pretty easy. So there are a number of ghosts on this map area as well. I think there's 7 or 8 of them that you have a chance to grab, in addition to the Covenant that are driving some of the ghosts.
And if I remember right, one of them's got an Ultra Ghost.
I could see that being a possibility. I don't specifically remember that, but I believe it.
Now, I may have been thinking of a different level, but I could have sworn that I saw an Ultra Ghost in there last time I played it. Regardless, there's plenty of ghosts.
Right. You could be very right on that. I don't doubt that you are. So once you get all the gravity cores down, you will go ahead and head on over to the middle area where you'll get access to the cryptum, or try to get access to the cryptum. As you're heading on over, like GT mentioned earlier, be aware of the wraith that will be there. And there's also going to be a focus turret overlooking the little activation area that you need to get to.
And 2 shade turrets.
Yes, that's true too. Those will wreak havoc on you. Big time. The 2 focus turrets are on the raised area in front of the little activation switch. And if you have the chance, while you're in the mantis, take out the shade turrets. And you can even take them out beforehand, if you're going from like Delta Core to Gamma Core or Gamma Core to Delta Core, you can take out the shade turrets. So whenever you are going to the middle area, you don't have to worry about them being a nuisance.
Yeah, I generally, when I leave Gamma Core, I'll go towards the middle and clear that area because there are, the first time you come through, there are mostly Covenant there with a sprinkling of Promethean. But once you get back there, there's a lot more Promethean. There's 2 waves of enemies that'll spawn there. So I'll generally clear it out the first time, get rid of the Wraith, destroy the Shade turrets, don't leave them standing, destroy them. Then I'll go to Delta Corps, destroy it, Epsilon, and then I'll come back to the middle. And the reason I destroy the Shade turrets is because if you don't, the Prometheans will get in them.
Smart AIs.
Yeah. Smart AIs. Anyway, and it just kind of helps. It makes that particular area go a little smoother, especially on the higher difficulties. Not to mention, by the end of that, you should be able to get all your team members in Ghosts. Unless one of them wants to be Stumbered and ride the Mongoose. Or, sorry, Gun Goose.
And who would be doing that, honestly?
Buck.
That would be something that Buck would do, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Anyways, so once you finally get all the gravity cores down and you activate the switch to get access to the Krypton facility, Cortana is just like, nope. And pulls the Krypton away into her Guardian. And you're getting in there to try to get access. And the Exuberant Witness has a plan. But apparently, the one thing that ticks off Exuberant Witness is when Cortana takes control of her doors.
Yes. She's very adamant. She wants control over doors. Not drawers, doors.
Right. So, in this final section, where you're going to be basically doing a mini firefight session.
By the way, before you go into this room, you get Ghosts in there. It's a huge help.
Wait, you can get Ghosts in here?
You can get Ghosts what? In there. You can actually get the Mantis in there.
What?
Yeah, I did it. I wanted to see if I could do it. You can get the Mantis in there. Unfortunately, I was playing by myself, so I had to get out of the Mantis to push a button, and then it vanished.
Oh, no.
But I think if you're playing co-op, if somebody's in the Mantis when you push the button, it won't disappear. Don't quote me on that, but it is possible. But yes, I know you can definitely get Ghosts in there. You'd basically park one Ghost by the barrier and just use it for a ramp, and you just drive Ghosts right over the top of it. It is a tremendous help in there. You do have to be careful because you have limited maneuverability. So you have to be really aware of where the enemies are. But they do a really good job on Knights and Watchers and Crawlers. And you don't run out of bullets.
Very true.
But in this room, you've got plenty of heavy weapon. There are three splinter turrets that are mounted. You have rocket launcher, fuel rod cannon, incendiary cannon, sniper rifle, and a binary rifle. And those are just the weapons that are in the room, along with your suppressor stations, light rifle stations, and whatever the enemies bring in. In this room, it's a mix of everything, and it comes in waves. You do crawlers, watchers, crawlers, watchers, soldiers, and knights.
And then knights.
And then you do they still call them battle wagon knights? Or did they give them a new name?
I think there's a class that's still battle wagon.
It's the bad boys.
The ones with the incineration cannons.
Yes.
Eric Kipu probably knows what they're called.
But I would, if you're playing co-op, the mounted turrets are very effective at clearing the room, but you each need to watch each other's back because crawlers will get up behind you and things like that. And you want to make sure that no one enemy is focusing on a single turret because they will tear. They're pretty open turrets, so you can get overwhelmed pretty quickly.
Right. Eric Yabu clarified for us that the big bad ones are the commanders.
Commanders.
And the battle wagons are the regular ones.
Oh, see, that used to be backwards. Anyway.
They changed up the classes a little bit. Just a little bit.
But you fight three waves in this room, and then you unlock the center elevator.
Oh, before that, you have to get the auxiliary station. So Exuberant Witness is going through trying to figure out how to get access to the central elevator to actually get out to where she can get access to something that will help her retain control of the facility. And there's a point where while you're defending her, I think it's in between the first and second wave that you have to go activate two auxiliary stations. They're on either sides of the room. You can use the Artemis to figure out where they are. They're basically on the absolute right and absolute left side of the room. Pretty easy to figure out where they are. And once you activate those, then she comes back and starts figuring out how to get the access to the central part of the room figured out. And then that's where you fight the last two waves, which is your crawlers, soldiers, and watchers. And then your final wave is mostly just soldiers.
No, they have knights.
I'm sorry, not soldiers, knights. Sorry, I meant knights. Said soldiers, meant knights. Yeah. Anyways. Yep. And then she finally gets control and she tells you to hop on in the middle. And as another wave spawns, she puts up a nice little hard light shield and you are safe and sound inside this little center area.
And you see more knights than you ever thought you would.
You know what? I would rather see more knights than I would see those three wardens. To be perfectly honest.
True. True. Very true.
The very final area that is, I mean, you're not fighting any enemies, but you are going up this long ramp. And Auxiliary Witness basically says that Cortana is using a relay at the end of the ramp to control the facility. And in order to get control back, that you need to destroy this relay. So as you're climbing up, the Guardian is sending out his little song pulses, the same kind of pulses that you witnessed when the Guardians took out the other couple of cities. So the first one being Meridian and the second one being on St. Helios. So you know those little pulses that go out. That's basically happening with this Guardian. And it knocks you back a few times. I have found that the quickest way to get up there is doing the slide jump boost. That method still works pretty well in this situation.
As you come up this ramp, you lose abilities. You lose the ability to sprint. You lose the ability to boost.
No, you still have your ability to boost. You never lose that.
No. Yeah. Yes, you do.
I've never have. Or maybe I've just gotten there quick enough to where I haven't lost it.
Yeah. But as you climb up this ramp, I mean, it will knock you down and you'll lose your HUD. And the closer you get to the relay, of course, the more difficult it becomes.
Yeah. And is there like a, because I think I've gotten to the podium in like being down four times. And I think that's like my minimum. I don't think I've ever tried to test it to see like if you don't get there in a certain time that you just die or that you just don't succeed.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a limit on that or not. Might have to test that theory.
Might just have to. So anyways, you get up to the podium and you rip it open and you punch it. And at that point, Cortana's like slip space coordinates locked in. And she is basically saying like, goodbye, you lost. Ha ha ha. But then Exuberant Witness comes out with her constructors and she's like, I have control again. And sends out her constructors to go grab the cryptum from Cortana's guardian before it leaves. And as the guardian goes away, you can see the constructors basically holding the cryptum in place and strips it out of Cortana's hands. And then Cortana's gone. Oh, and one thing to mention in this place, too, is just before Locke gets to the very end, or whoever is getting to the very end, Cortana asks, where is the Infinity? Where is she hiding?
Yeah, I find that really interesting, but we'll go into that in a little bit.
Well, that'll probably be another show, because that's getting into some deeper things. But, I mean, the Infinity is the best ship in the human fleet, and that's probably the one thing that probably causes her the most worry of actually being successful with her plans now that she failed with the Chief. But, alas, Exuberant Witness, along with Fire Team Osiris, save Blue Team. Exuberant Witness's constructors lowers the cryptum down to the platform, cuts away the doors to the cryptum, and we see Blue Team come out unharmed. And we see Locke basically break the news to Chief that Cortana is gone.
And then Chief finally takes his helmet off. Not.
We do have a scene, though, afterwards where the I don't know if it was necessarily Cortana's guardian, but I'm guessing she was just networked with the guardian that went to Meridian.
No, I think that was her guardian. I think that's the one she's residing in.
Either way, the Infinity was still at... It looked like that was Meridian, right?
It's possible. No, because they had Mac platforms.
Oh, good point. At least that's what it looked like. Good point.
But she makes the point, finally found you.
The hunt is over, yeah. And she tries to activate the Guardian Pulse to knock everything out, but Lasky, being smart, initiates an emergency slipspace jump, and thankfully Roland hasn't gone rogue and sided with Cortana. But as they're in slipspace, Cortana still is within range to transmit to them and basically is saying that the Age of Reclamation is coming and that the Created have claimed their rightful place as being the ones taking over the mantle of responsibility. And Roland's like, are we just going to run? And Lasky's like, well, we're going to run until we can figure out how to fight Cortana. And then afterwards, Chief is reunited with Halsey.
Halsey. It's about time.
What took you so long?
They could have come up with so many different lines.
That was corny. That was really corny.
I was like, I mean, at the beginning of the game, it kind of made sense because it was like 3 weeks she waited. But I never understood the why they put that line there other than to tie the beginning to the end.
That seems the only reason that it was there. Erykubu was saying it was Earth.
It could be.
Very well could be. I don't remember. I didn't take a close look at the planet that was there, but yeah, it's possible. And then there's one final scene at the very end on Legendary where we see a Halo ring. We hear Cortana humming, and it looks like the Halo ring is activating. And that's it.
She's up to bad juju.
And that's the campaign. We're done. Yay.
Yay.
Took us long enough. Get it? Get it? Get it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Funny. funny.
It was more appropriate there than it was at the end of the game. just definitely. Saying. So that wraps up our campaign coverage. We will finally get into more lore stuff. We'll get back into the books. We'll get back into discussing what the end really means. What could Cortana possibly be doing? We'll get some people on the show. It would be good to get Podcast Evolved on here to talk about the ending. I'm sure they've talked about it before, and we're just now getting to it. We've talked to Toa Freak. He's on for talking about stuff as well. So expect more campaign and lore and book discussions after E3. Probably a little more after this whole rush of conventions, because E3 is in 2.5 weeks, and then RTX is 2 weeks after that, and then San Diego Comic-Con is 2 weeks after that. So my podcasting time is going to be somewhat limited in the coming couple of months.
Well, here in a couple of weeks, we're going to be in mind blown.
Yes.
Out of what comes out of E3, whether it be from 343 or Xbox, it's going to be an interesting E3.
Right. Halo Wars 2 is going to be discussed there for sure. There's going to be the Xbox Slim or whatever it's going to be called. Right now, the code name is Scorpio. And there's an image on Twitter that Laird tweeted of Phil Spencer on Homer Simpson. And then it has, I guess Homer is holding a Tommy gun. And then it has Scorpio emblazed into the gun barrel. Mm-hmm. So that's supposed to be some big news.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. That's some big news that's supposed to be coming out about for E3. Hopefully more information about the Forge on Windows 10. Not sure about that. I have talked to a couple of people, and we are going to try to get someone from 343 on, as well as Nick from, I believe he's Forge Hub and Halo Customs, I think. Halo Customs. Been talking to them a little bit recently, and we're going to have a podcast with that hopefully pretty soon. Don't know if it's going to be before E3. It's likely going to be afterwards. And I'm also trying to see if I can get some interviews lined up during E3 as well, since there'll be a lot of people there. Lots of good things coming there. And hopefully at RTX, I'll be getting an interview with some of the story writers behind the season of Red versus Blue, because it's been a while since we've had someone from Rooster Teeth on the show, and I figured it's about time to try to get someone else on. Hopefully we'll get some interviews there. And then for San Diego Comic-Con, pretty sure Matt Forbeck's going to be there. Probably a couple of the other authors that's going into the Halo Fractures novel, so maybe get some interviews there as well. So lots of interview opportunities coming up within the next couple of months with all these conventions, at least. Lots of good times there.
Oh, and Halo just announced 2 hours ago, as of this recording of this podcast, that if you're interested, Halo Spartan Strike is on sale for iOS for 99 cents.
Yay. I still need to get the achievements on that.
Me too. So if you have an Apple device, you can now play Spartan Strike.
For 99 cents. For instead cheap. Of, what, $3? How much was it before? What, $3, $5, $7?
I don't know. I don't do iOS.
Was it $7? Yeah, I think it was $7. Anyways, you can check that out over on the App Store or over on Halo Waypoint. And one other thing that we need to mention, well, actually a couple more things that we need to mention. But first thing is we are teaming up. We mentioned this a little bit last week, but there's a little more firm details of what's actually going into this now. We are teaming up with Drunken Halo, Podcast Evolved, and Delta Halo Podcasts to do the inaugural Halo Bowl. Now, this is a, right now, it's just the us four podcasts doing this, and we're getting together to raise money for charity. For us specifically, we're getting a team from our Spartan company. Everyone is getting a team together. Like, there's going to be one host on the team, and then it's going to be comprised of their community members. So for us, what we're doing right now is I've messaged the Spartan company over Waypoint, and if you are interested in playing, the tournament is going to be held on June 8th. We're going to be starting gameplay around 6 Eastern time. So you would need to be available then if you are interested in participating. And it would be all played that night. So from all four of us that are participating, we would be going in starting at 6, doing pool play. And then the pool play will determine the seeding into the bracket. And I don't know if we're going to... we're still working out the details on whether or not it's going to be a full single elimination bracket, or if it's just going to seed a finals bracket, and it's just going to be the two best performing teams that are going to be playing. We're not sure yet. But if you are interested in participating with us, then I would encourage you to go check out your messages on Waypoint if you're part of the Spartan company. If you are not part of the Spartan company and you want to get involved, then you can go ahead, request a invite to the company or seek enlistment to the company, and we will accept you. There is currently 8 spots left, and once we get close to that, I'm going to start pruning again for people that are inactive in the company so we can make room for other people. And we're going to be doing a podcast tomorrow, so we're recording this on Thursday, on March 26th. We're going to be doing a separate podcast recording tomorrow to go into more detail and discuss what exactly it is we're doing, the charity that we're raising for. I think we've chosen Gamers Outreach, and it's going and St. Ruth's Hospital. It's something cancer related. Anyways, there'll be more details on the podcast tomorrow that we'll be recording. It's going to be all four of us hosts from the podcast talking about it. So there'll be more details on that here coming out within the next week or so. Another thing to mention too, just as we're on the topic, is Delta Halo is a new podcast. I think they're on episode 27 right now, and they are focused on esports. So if you're looking into getting a little bit more involved with the competitive scene, or you want a little more up-to-date information than what we're able to give, then Delta Halo Podcast is the one for you. So it's kind of interesting how the Halo podcasts have worked out. There's kind of a niche for every single podcast. So as Podtacular, we try to cover recent and recent events, recent news, and try to highlight a bunch of different communities and kind of spread awareness that way. Griffball Hub obviously focuses on Griffball. Drunken Halo is kind of more like a lifestyle talk show type of thing. And Delta Halo is competitive, and there's another one that's out. Oh yeah, Podcast Evolved is more of a Halo lore, Halo universe focused show. So every show is kind of their own little corner of the Halo universe, so they all complement each other very well. There's a good question here in the chat. Dustlander asks, when are the tryouts? We're having tryouts tomorrow, May 27th, and May 28th. The one for tomorrow will likely start at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And the one on Saturday is to be determined, but it's going to be during the day because I have something in the evening that I have to attend. So I will be sending out a message here tonight for the Friday one, and then I will probably send out another one for Saturday tomorrow on what times they'll be doing that. Right now, I believe we have about 7 or 8 people that have expressed interest in participating. So if you're interested in participating, we are going to be kind of filtering out some of our better players from the company for those that are interested. And for those that are not able to make the time slot or don't think your skills are that great, we're going to ask that you not participate in this one. It's not that we don't like you. It's just that we would like to put a good foot forward in participating in this tournament, because the other communities have some pretty good people playing for them, so we don't want to just be steamrolled if we can avoid it.
So I will not be joining into this competition.
Yeah. So, yeah. It will be streamed. We're going to have one of our own. I believe Triple Ace Zero has volunteered to commentate. We are going to be... And that's Raikou, so he's volunteered to commentate for the stream. So hopefully that'll go out pretty well. And we also have, let's see, just checking again. It looks like 5 or 6, actually, not 7 or 8. But yeah, so we have interest. We're going to be doing tryouts. And yeah, if you haven't expressed interest already, please do. In addition to kind of Spartan Company related news, we are still making progress on our Spartan commendations. That's something that we need to keep up at it. And I'm just pulling it up real quick on the ones that we need. Currently, we have 15 out of 31 commendations completed for the armor. Our two closest ones right now to being completed for level 3 are Almost Doesn't Count, Kill an Enemy Spartan When Your Health is Low and Survive. And then Sting Like a Bee, Kill an Enemy Spartan with a Melee. Still some pretty hefty distance to go on those, but those are the closest ones that we have to getting done for level 3. And then the two at the very bottom, I guess the two or three that we have at the very bottom that need to be worked on. The one at the very bottom is the Pain Train, Kill an Enemy Spartan with a Soldier Bash. And I've actually been focusing on trying to get those. So I've been just running around sprinting, and then whenever I see an enemy, I do the shoulder charge. So I've been trying to focus on those. We have a few people that are grinding specific ones, so that's a pretty good thing to go. If you have like an hour to spend, just try to grind on a specific commendation. The next one that we have up near the bottom is Something on Your Face, Kill an Enemy Spartan with a Headshot. And then the next one from there is Look Ma, No Pin, Kill an Enemy Spartan with a Grenade.
Jeez, how many do we need for the headshot? That's surprising that that one is one of the lowest.
The headshot,
ones.
Right now we have 27,564 out of 90,000.
That explains it. Play a lot of SWAT.
Yes, a lot of SWAT. That's what I do every day for my dailies, actually, is SWAT.
Same here.
So yeah, that's your Spartan Company commendation update for the week. One other thing to mention, too, is that we have our Keep Calm and Blame Beowulf t-shirts. We still haven't met our 25 goal yet, and there are another 3 days remaining for you to buy those shirts as of this recording. Hopefully, I'll get the recording out this weekend, so there'll be maybe a couple last-minute purchases, but this is the only time that you'll be able to get this shirt. Only time. So get them now.
I got mine.
You got more than just yours. But yes.
They already done took my money, so I'm just waiting for them to show up.
Well, they won't show up until the campaign's done.
I know.
But yes. So make sure you check those out. You can head on over to the Teespring for that. It is teespring.com/podtacular-KCBB. KCBB standing for Keep Calm and Blame Beowulf. Again, this is the only time that we plan on selling these. So get them now while you can.
Do it. How?
finally, to wrap things up, we cannot end our podcast without giving a shout out to our podcast network. We are part of the podcast.com. Yeah. And that's a podcast with a K, not a C. And they have shows like Critzcast, which is actually breaking off their show. They were doing Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch, and they're actually splitting off their Overwatch into a whole new podcast. I was talking to Aggro a little bit earlier this week. They were trying to have something out for launch, but they're still working on getting a clean start with assets and making sure the audio is clean and whatnot. So that should be coming out. If it's not out by the time you're listening to this show, it should be out relatively soon. So we'll have a new podcast kind of under the umbrella of Critzcast joining the network. So make sure you check that out whenever it comes out if you are interested in Overwatch. I personally am interested in Overwatch. I have it for PC, just not playing it yet because I have to send my motherboard to get replaced. So make sure you check that out. There's also Guardian Radio, which is for Destiny. There's also The Learning Cliff, which is for EVE Online. And then there is also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So you can check out those. You can find that at podka.st or thepodcast.com. And that's podcast with K instead of C. Let them know that we sent you and spread the word. Spread the love. One final note is our game nights. So we have our Tuesdays and Wednesday company events, those being Tactical Tuesday and Warzone Wednesday starting at 9 Eastern Time. And then we also have our Fraggin' Fridays hosted by Godzilla Todd over here in the other corner across the interwebs from me. And he does...
Ding, yep. Ding.
He hosts Customs, Warzone, Arena, kind of depending on whatever the late hotness is with playlist updates or content updates that come out, then whatever other cool customs that are out there. And
it's Lobby's Choice.
There you go. And there are some crazy customs. Did you see the tweet that Frankie put out earlier this week of the Guardian lockout mashup?
I saw the tweet, but I didn't actually read it.
It actually looks pretty good. There's a video. It's a video walkthrough.
I'll have to find it.
I tweeted it out from the podcast account, so
I will find it.
That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. And I don't know if we'll have the segment for the tournament be something separate or if we'll include that next week. So it probably is a separate segment. So that'll probably turn out pretty soon. But you can check out the other podcasts. Please go do support them. Again, it's Drunken Halo. You can find them over at atpodcasts.com. Or DrunkenHalo.com will redirect you. There's also Podcast Evolved, and that is over at RatedMGaming.com, I believe. Then there is Delta Halo. I don't remember where they're at. And that will wrap it up for us tonight. See you later, folks. Remember, keep on fragging drugs.